Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rachel Donovan, and I'm a news correspondent here with the Irish Farmers Journal. You're all very welcome along to the Young Stock podcast, the podcast by young journalists, for young readers and listeners, and kindly supported by Mocra. Winter has well and truly set in around the country. With that has come some very cold weather, which my guest on the podcast this week knows all too well about, as he's out every day braving the elements. Jarlett Sutton, a mixed animal vet based in Rathmore, County Kerry, will be my guest this week, and in between dehorning cattle, performance cesareans and mending broken bones, I got to grab him for a quick chat to talk about how, after studying biological science in Limerick and becoming a trained secondary school teacher, he was still eager to become a vet. We'll hear how he did it, the route he chose and how he's getting on now. I also sprung a quick fire round on him, which is definitely worth staying around to listen for. Jarlett is from the same village as myself, Moneygall, or as most people call it, the place with the Barack Obama Plaza. Just before we go any further, folks, I'll just say a little bit about myself. We have pedigree Angus sucklers at home here, and we also keep a few National Hunt brood mares. So that's where you'll find me when I'm not at the Farmers Journal news desk or out on the road reporting. Anyway, we'll get on with proceedings. We have a jam-packed show for you this week. We'll hear the main stories of the week, a sustainability fact, and lastly, Martin's Markets, where he'll keep you up to date on everything from the price of milk to what good fleshy Wainlands are making at the mart. Our Martin, he doesn't miss a beat. Now I'll hand you over to Noel for Noel's news. Just to clarify, that's Noel Barden's news, not Noel Furlong's. Right, Noel, what are the most pressing stories in the world of ag this week?
On the sustainability front, we see this week that Teagasc has announced that it's expanding its flagship signpost programme. Farmers will be able to avail of free one-to-one sustainability advice, which Teagasc has said will be provided to about 50,000 farmers by 2030. No doubt many of our listeners will be enrolled with the service by then. It's looking like the first sustainability plans could be drawn up as early as next year as part of the pilot rollout of this expanded sustainability programme, so it's definitely one to watch. Back again to the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Group, and the final report was delivered this week to the Minister. The report, which was published, recommended that on the suckler side of the house, that there's a voluntary exit and herd reduction scheme opened up. Many of the details of the report stayed fairly well the same as they had been in the interim one, which we covered off a couple of weeks ago. Meat Industry Ireland, which would be the processor's body, it came out very strongly against the recommendations and said that the scheme's implementation could cost the sector about 1.5 billion in lost output per year. And some good news for young farmers after all that. Farmers will soon be able to access low-cost loans of up to 3 million euro under a new government-backed SBCI scheme. The Growth and Sustainability Loan Scheme will make loans of as low as 25,000 euro available to be paid back over 7 to 10 years, and up to 500,000 can be borrowed unsecured through the scheme. It's definitely an option for young farmers who are considering making on-farm investments to consider, with interest rates on the up.
Now we'll hear from Ellen Durkin with the sustainability fact of the week. You just never know when it might come in handy. First of all, we'll hear a word from our sponsor, Mocra.
Looking for somewhere to talk about all things farming? Then make sure to join Mocra na Firma. Our Ag Affairs Committee are always on top of the latest farming issues and want to hear what you have to say. But we're all about having the crack too, which is why we have plenty of events and competitions happening all the time. So what are you waiting for? Sign up to Mocra today and make sure to add the promo code PODCAST so you will be entered into a draw to win two tickets to a concert of your choice in the Three Arena. Sign up via our website, mocra.ie.
This week's Sustainability Fact of the Week is that rotations can make crop production more resilient by breaking disease, pest and weed cycles and improving crop nutrition. Both crop establishment systems and crop rotation have a key role to play in the development of sustainable crop production. Ireland's crop yield potential is supported by climate, soils, crop management and past rotations, which included grass. However, in the past 40 years, most of our cropping has been in monoculture and not included grass. As mentioned above, rotations can make crop production more resilient as they break disease, pest and weed cycles and also improve crop nutrition. While reduced cultivation systems may be faster and less expensive in comparison to plough-based systems, grass, weeds and wet soil conditions can present challenges. It is thought that combining rotations with reduced cultivation systems could have benefits.
Thanks a million, Ellen. Now, as always, we would love to hear from you and hear what's happening on the ground or on your farm at the moment. I'm an awful devil for news, so if you have anything wild or exciting relating to farming, please do get in touch. You can contact us on youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a voice note to 086 836 6465. So now it's time for this week's big interview. I caught up with Jarlett Sutton. Let us hear what he had to say. Just briefly tell us a bit about yourself, Jarlett, where you're from, what kind of farm you grew up on at home, and I suppose what you're doing now.
Hi, I'm Jarlett. I'm from Moneygall in Tipperary. Some will dispute and say Offaly, but Tipman through and through. Grew up in Moneygall, our farm was out the road a small bit, kind of grew up on a beef and sheep farm. So buying store cattle and lamb and yours, and went to school in Rosscrea, studied in Limerick first, and then went on to Budapest. And now I'm a vet here in Rathmore, County Kerry, mixed animal vet, so mostly large animal, but we do the odd cat and dog as well.
Can you explain what a typical day in the life of a vet might look like? I suppose it's what, nearly 4 o'clock now on a Friday. What have you been up to today already?
This time of year, not as busy as spring, obviously, but this time of year, we're doing a lot of testing. So today, read maybe two herd tests, and thankfully they were all clear. So we do a lot of work on the TB front. I know it's kind of a big pandemic at the minute. Well, always is nearly with veterinary, isn't it? TB and farmers. So yeah. Try and stay on top of that at the minute. And I had a lame cow this morning and had a couple of sick wellings with pneumonia, which is kind of this time of year, it's for them. Cattle are coming in, they're stressed. So we see a lot
around
of that
housing.
Around housing. Yeah.
Okay. And I suppose any tips there around that, Jarlett, people bringing in cattle, you know, should they phase it, or is there anything you could say that could help prevent pneumonia?
The biggest thing is vaccinations have to be doing them, to be honest. It's a no-brainer anymore. Like when I was growing up, I've never even heard of it. Like we just didn't do it, it wasn't done, but it's taken off in the last few years. I had a teacher in school used to always say better to be proactive instead of reactive. So if you have cattle coming into the house today, you'd nearly want to be vaccinating them the same day. And reduces the risks of big illness with cattle straight away. We do a lot of it here, and we don't tend to get that many call-outs to calves with pneumonia or weanlings with pneumonia anymore. They're great. There's a couple of options, but you're kind of getting a bit late for injectables this time of year, so intranasal vaccines would be the big one you'd want to be using now.
Tell us a bit about practicing in Kerry. Where exactly do you cover, Jarlett? I suppose, is it more challenging than it would be, do you think, if you were here in Tip?
It's similar enough, mightn't be as large scale. We do mostly dairy herds here, but to be around the 50 mark cow herd and maybe up to 100, maybe 130 or 40. Good few sucklers, but that has taken a bit of a hit the last few months, 6 or 7 months, the suckler herd has kind of gone down. People have got out. Biggest thing there is the cost of materials and stuff has gone sky high. And help is another big thing. We find that here, that there's an older kind of cohort of farmers. So we mainly do dairy, still do a bit of sucklers, all right, still a lot of them. So we kind of cover, we're in Rathmore, so it's on the border with Cork. So we're kind of covering outside Killarney, back out to here, and we go over as far as kind of Mill Street. Just so we have a good wide area, but it's fine. It's grand. Just, herds are a bit smaller, yards are a bit smaller, but it's still the same.
And is there anything in particular you like doing, or is there anything, you know, that when you hear is going on?
Time, as my mother says, I love doing a C-section. I do like doing them. I find that nice work. It's kind of, we try and avoid it. It's, look, to say it's bad farming practice when you have to do a C-section, but needs must sometimes if a calf's coming backwards or calf is just too big, it has to be done. And it's nice to have a live calf on the ground and the cow survives. You know, you're operating inside in the shed, so, you know, risks are high, but most of them tend to work out, and it's always a nice feeling when it does work out. So that's probably my favourite part of the job. And the people, look, you meet a lot of nice farmers out there, to be honest. 99% of them are 100%. The odd one here and there can be a bit tarny. So you have that in every job, don't you?
Yeah, and I see you're often called in there for tea and tart and...
Yeah, that's a great part of the job. In fairness, most farmers invite you in. If you have time, we go in. It's always great to win, even if you drank a quick cup of tea, 10 minutes. It's good old interaction. And kind of, you see in rural Ireland, people are kind of small bit loneliness there in rural Ireland. People are getting older. People, since COVID, are probably not visiting each other as much. So it's always nice to go in and check up on people, you know. 10, 15 minutes makes the world of difference to all them, so...
Exactly, and it gives you a little bit of a breather as well and a break to take on the rest of the day.
Yeah, and it helps build up the old relationship with the farmer too. Like, so it's not just run and grab. It's kind of go up, do the job and take a breather and chat and talk about the weather and move on again. So it's a nice part of the job. Yeah, I like that part too, though, to be fair.
And you're well able to chat too, so there'll be no fear of you there.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so how do you manage the work-life balance, Charlotte? Or I suppose, do you manage it? I see you're doing a bit of farming in Kerry too there as well.
Yeah, I work in a kind of small practice. There's only two vets here, so it's kind of challenging enough with the work-life balance because, like, you know, you're on every second night and every second weekend, so it's kind of hard to get away. But look, it's what you signed up for. The bigger practices now, which have 5 or 6 vets, it's a bit easier. But then again, they have more work. So, yeah, I do a bit of farming here as well. It's grand. Look, it's a hobby. I grew up in the farm, so I've good interest in it. So it's grand for a bit of an escape to go up and just get away from it all for a small bit. Expensive hobby, but good.
Yeah, that's for sure. I suppose labour across the veterinary sector seems to be an issue. What do you think that's down to, Gerlet, or what needs to be done?
What needs to be done? This is going on a while, all right. We, ourselves here, we think, like, there's lots of vets there. Like, I graduated out foreign in Budapest, and there's lots of vets around. It's kind of keeping vets' retention rates seems to be the biggest trouble. Like, the lifespan of a vet is about 6 to 7 years. Like, there's no difference between people say male, females. It's nearly across the board, it's the same. Doesn't make a difference of the sex. Kind of the lifestyle is tough. Look, you sign up for it when you go in, and it's the night calls in the spring can be hard, you know. Pulled out of bed at 3 o'clock in the cold, and I don't mind it. I enjoy it. Some people don't enjoy it as much. But look, there's multifactorial of how to keep vets in it. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. Or there's no silver bullet to kind of fix it. So just if there's anybody listening and they're thinking of doing veterinary, it's a great job. But just be mindful of the hours. That's odd. It's unsociable hours. You're working weekends. You have to work weekends or working nights. So just keep that in mind. I don't know how we can improve it. I just don't know. Look, you can say more money, but everything's not about money. You know, as all farmers will tell you, vets are expensive. There's no two ways about it. When you call a vet, it's costly to bring us out. Like, you can say, offer vets more money. I don't think that's not going to do it either. I don't know how. I don't have the answer for that, and I hope to figure it out soon enough.
Not an easy one, but I suppose you touched on it there about Budapest, Charlotte. You didn't take the most, I suppose, straightforward route into veterinary. Tell us a bit about what you did straight after school, first of all.
So I knew I wasn't going to get the Pints or Dublin, so I applied for biological science with concurrent teaching in Limerick, UL. I gave 4 years doing that, so I was trained up to be a secondary school science teacher, ag science and chemistry. And I kind of always wanted to be a vet, but I just knew Dublin was out of my reach. There was no, wasn't going to sugarcoat it. I was never going to get to 600 pints. And I kind of graduated 2010 or 11, whenever it was, and the economy was poor enough. There wasn't many teaching jobs out there at the time. So I applied for Budapest. There was a chap from Ross Gray was doing it, Sam Gallagher, his father's a vet in Ross Gray, and he was out in Budapest. So I rang him and he told me, he says he was out there studying it. So you had to do an entrance exam, pretty straightforward. And then you went out to Budapest and you started out there in September like any other year. So it's an English course and there's maybe students from Ireland, England, Norway, Sweden, about 100, 120 in each year. Look, it's similar to the course in UCD, I'd imagine. More theory based, I'd say, than we'd like. Wasn't much hands on. There was enough. We felt like there should have been a bit more, but look, we were glad to get the opportunity to go out there. It's tough going. It's all oral exams, and you know it is long semesters, kind of September till the 1st of February. You get a break, and then you're back in again till the mid February to the end of July. So it was tricky but enjoyable. Great time out there. We had a great time, but the exams were hard, oral exams. So just keep that in mind. If you're a shy person, it's kind of difficult to go in and talk. Sometimes you have to wrap your head around it. It's a big change from the Irish system you're used to. But great experience. If anyone is really, really wants to do veterinary, I'd highly recommend it.
And I suppose like any career, Gerald, was doing any course, would you agree that, you know, the real experience comes from when you get out on the ground and when you actually start working the job?
Oh, big time. Especially, I remember I started in Kenmare. I was very green. Like, I came from a farming background, but the veterinary side of it, I was pretty raw. I remember, like, the first few calls I got, I was nearly getting sick before I went out. But look, you get into it very quick. You know, like any job, once the first month or two is over, it's you know, it's repetition, and you get your confidence is building every day. So I won't worry about that. You learn very quick on the job. So, and to be honest with you, the vets you're working with won't send you somewhere that's tricky. They won't put you in that position because, one, they don't want you to fail, and number two, the farmer doesn't want you out there if you're not good enough to do it. Or I won't say good enough, you're not confident. So, you know, you can choose your battles and you learn on the job very fast.
You're probably still learning, you know, it's every day you probably come across something different.
Yeah, every day is a school day, you know, just especially there with small animals, we do a bit of it, but you'd be just picking up stuff all the time. You'd see something weird and wonderful every day, to be honest. So it's a good job. Like, look, you're always learning.
Yeah, exactly. Not boring anyway.
No, far from it. Far from it, to be honest.
Moving away from the career and veterinary talk, we couldn't really let the chance go by without discussing your undying love for silage. You worked with our local contractor, Seamus Kenny. So tell us a bit about what age you started at.
Like any young lad, look, 16, we're stone mad for tractors, and like as all you serve your time for about 23 or 4, and then you kind of get a bit of sense, your kind of body starts to ache when you're going over lumps and whatnot, and you kind of, it was great. Well, I still love it. I wouldn't do it now as much anymore, but it was a great time. Can't fault it. Every young lad will tell you the same. It's the best crack ever. You don't realize how good it is till you're finished, you know, when you're about 20. Like, well, I am now 32, and you kind of think back of it, it's all fond memories.
You still help him out a bit there in the summer if you were home, or
yeah, I'd go back a few hours would do me, and then I'd disappear again. So
yeah, you'd serve your time.
Serves your time, and that's it. The next generation can take over. So
exactly, and there's lots of young lads out there and young girls as well. Mad to drive.
Yeah, mad to drive. All I'd say is health and safety. Take your time. It'll all be done.
Yeah, exactly. And the long nights didn't bother you.
No, they were fine, to be honest. It was grand once you had a radio, and the biggest trouble we had with Seamus was no aircon in the tractors during the summer. That was tough going. So if you meet me, I don't think he still has aircon in any of them. So
I don't think he does, but sure, he might listen to this and he might take note.
Yeah.
the late hours, Gerald, probably didn't do you any harm, you know, setting you up for the job you're doing now. You seem to be able to take it in your stride anyway.
Yeah, look, it's part and parcel of it. Look, the hours come into it. Look, there'll be some days you'll be very busy and the other days then you'll be very quiet. Like, you know, it could be a Monday. Monday's normally a very busy day here. You're catching up on small animals and whatnot. Look, if you're watering testing on, if you had the weekend off, you don't have to test cattle on the Wednesday. This time of year, Wednesdays can be quiet. So it's grand. You get a bit of downtime here and there. You can go away early at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know. You'll catch a bit of sleep here and there. Biggest thing is just make sure you eat, and whenever you get a chance, go to bed. That's about it. Don't let it consume you either, you know.
Yeah, and it probably did in the beginning. I suppose like any new job, it does. You do let it kind of get
I remember when I was on call the first few months, like you wouldn't let the phone out of your sight, you know. You'd go for a shower, you'd nearly bring the phone with you. Look, you get over that very quick, you know. If there's very few massive emergencies anymore. Look, C-section and stuff like that, calf stuck at the hips or something like that. Rare enough anymore. Look, a dog getting knocked down by a car. They are emergencies. Look, if someone doesn't get you straight away, they'll ring the other partner in the practice, and someone will get through to you very quick. So it's just it's to get that balance right of just chilling out a small bit when you're on call, but when it's quiet, just to enjoy it, like, you know.
I suppose I'm catching you on the hop here now, but is there any one call out you've had that has been the most bizarre thing you've ever seen? Or
what was the first time I went to a thing? Your listeners can Google it. A schistosome reflux is kind of, you go out to a cabin and you have kind of legs going everywhere, and you don't really know what's going on, and you can't make head nor tail of it. And it's basically a genetic defect where the calf is, I know it sounds gruesome now, but the calf is born inside out. So, and it's kind of falling over. Maybe it's a bit gruesome for the podcast, but that was probably the strangest thing I've ever come across, because I'd never seen one before. And it's trying to navigate and make your mind up what to do and do it correctly and the best outcome for everyone around. So that was probably the most challenging thing I dealt with at the start of the career. But now, look, the biggest thing is to be level-headed. When someone rings you, they're in trouble, go out, keep calm, you know, and most of the time things work out, most of the time, 99% of the time, they work out fine.
Yeah. So there's no point having too going crazy, or too hot and bothered. But okay, so I suppose we're nearly at the end of it now, Gerald. What piece of advice would you give to either a young vet starting off in the industry, or even just someone starting off in agriculture?
What would I say? Enjoy it. Big thing I'd say is, look, health and safety is number one in vets. When you're young, you'll go out and you'll be eager to kind of, you know, show your worth in that. But Jesus, take your time, judge every situation, even working around the yards and cattle and that. Just health and safety is number one. Watch yourselves. You know, a kick from an animal could finish you, you know, or, you know, lose some teeth, you know, break an arm, break a leg. Like I ripped my cruciate earlier on in my career. I twisted my leg and it was foolish. I was trying to catch a bull and I was out of work for 4 months. I'd never do something like that again. And, you know, let them off, they'll come back again, you know. So health and safety is my biggest thing, is I kind of just watching, especially young kids around or your older grandparents or stuff like that, you know, that just can be a bit unaware of the dangers. You might spot them, and just don't be afraid to just pull people up in it and say, look, stand back. We'll get over here for a minute and let the dust settle. Big advice I have from it. Everything else, you'll work out yourself.
Yeah, and I suppose even dogs are around the place like that, the cows after calf, and all those are important.
All those small things, you know, lock the dog up for half an hour, you know, or send her into the house, you know, just be deadly careful in that, because you only get one chance. It takes a split second and, you know, damage could be irreversible too, you know. So that's my biggest take-home message, if I could give to any young person around livestock or in veterinary or stuff like that, you know. Take your time and just be in control of everything.
Great. Okay, Gerald, that's the end of the hard questions now. So we'll do the quick fire round now, so they'll have to be off the cuff and nice and quick. Lions or berries?
Oh, berries all day long.
New Holland or John Deere?
Oh, New Holland, yeah.
A two-prong fork or a three-prong fork?
I'd go with the three-prong. Twos are all good.
Right. Mowing or railing?
I'd bail all day long. I was no good at opening sets.
And I can agree with that one. Right, tip or Offaly?
Oh, tip.
Dunlops or Bikinas?
Oh, Dunlops.
Foot and turf or picking stones?
Picking stones.
Rhubarb tart or apple tart?
Oh, apple tart.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Timmy or Margaret?
Lord, she is my mother all day long, Margaret.
Yeah, so I was going to clarify that those are Timmy's parents, so I think I could have started a riff there in the Sutton household if anyone
always,
is listening.
I'll always pick my mammy.
Of course you would. Right, Darla, thanks so much for sparing the time from your busy day. It's Friday evening now. Hopefully you get time for a bit of R&R, and I suppose thanks for joining us on the Young Stock Podcast.
Okay, thanks, Rachel.
So that was Gerlet Sutton, folks, who gave a really brilliant insight into the life of a young vet and how it's not the same route everyone has to go in order to get to where they want. And he definitely sounds like a man who really, really enjoys his job, even though it proves challenging at times. He definitely does seem to relish the work that he does. So moving on now, folks, the next stop on the podcast, as promised earlier, is Martin's Markets.
Hi folks, and welcome again to Martin's Markets. Now all our prices are correct as of the 5th of December 2022. The cattle trade continues to move in a positive direction, with standard quotes increasing again this. Procurement managers are said to be increasingly cold calling suppliers looking for cattle, and a sure sign that the trade should improve again in the next couple of weeks. Bullocks are working off a base of 475 to 480 kg, with a lot more being bought this week at the higher end of that range. Heifers are being quoted at 485 to 490 kg, but again, numbers of deals being done at €5 a kg base price are being reported. Flat deals are also back in the cards, with as high as 515 a kg available for Aberdeen Angus heifers this week, with deals of €5 a kg being completed for good quality Friesian bullocks. With supplies of finished cattle running tight, factories are now turning to bull producers to shore up the supply of cattle to the factories. U-grading bulls have been moving freely in the east of the country at 510 a kg this week, with €5 a kg also on the table for R-grading bulls, with weight generally not an issue. Even lower grading O bulls are in demand this week, with some factories paying out 485 a kg for mixes of dairy cross under 24 month bulls. Under 16 month bulls are being quoted at 475 to 485 a kg on the grid. While the cow kill is high, demand has remained solid, with quotes also firming up in some factories, especially for younger, high quality flesh cows. RNU grading cows are working at 440 to 445 kg in most factories, with 430 kg being quoted for well fleshed O grading dairy cows in some plants. Parlour cows short on flesh are being sold for 270 to €3 a kg, depending on flesh cover and the factory involved. On the sheep front, some managers who recorded above average sales performance in the previous week have reported that the higher numbers have steadied prices, with agents under less pressure to compete against each other. Some managers are still reporting €2 to €3 per head increase on the week previous. The general running price for well-fleshed lambs weighing upwards of 48 kg to 50 kg is running in the region of €100 to €104 per head with their weight. Top quality lambs attracting butcher and wholesaler attention are in cases rising to €107 to €110 over the weight. And likewise, lambs short on flesh are selling back to a price of €90 over the weight. Store lamb trade is steady. A factor which has become more evident in sales in recent weeks is keener demand for lambs with good cover of flesh and are likely to be eating some level of concentrates. This is having a significant influence on some sales and demand for lighter store lambs. Prices for good quality lowland stores continue to range from 265 to 290 a kg live weight on average. Lambs with a lower flesh cover or plainer quality crossbred types are selling from 240 to 265 a kg, while light Scottish blackface lambs remain a challenging trade, selling on average for 170 to €2 a kg.
Good stuff, Martin. Thank you very much, as always. Well, folks, that's it for another week of the Young Stock Podcast. And as always, we'll be back next Monday. A quick word of thanks to our sponsor, Mokra, and to you, of course, our listeners, for listening and keeping us all in the job here in the Farmers Journal by reading the paper. My name is Rachel Donovan. Till next time, thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Itsinas.
Taylor Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.